Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
You're welcome back. So we are turning to the golf. Tiger Woods finished one stroke behind the eventual winner Paul Casey at the Valspar Championship. It was, as encouraging as it has ever been for Tiger Woods since things went belly up for him with his back and various surgeries over the last 2-3 years. Here's a moment on the 17th where Woods, who hadn't been holding anything all afternoon really, had a putt for birdie from just the 45 feet.
Are you serious? There's a little of that old Tiger magic.
And a little rabbit out of the hat, Rosh.
Yeah. That's a little smile.
A wry little smile there.
Lawrence Stalling is on the line. So, Lawrence, let's talk about the main man. Paul Casey, what a win.
Pretty good, Joe. No, it was actually a pretty good win. I mean, he's been a good player for a long time. I mean, he's won in Europe, but he hasn't won. I think he last won the States in 2009. Good player. The significance of that is another European doing really, really well on the PGA Tour. Our good friend Mr. Shipnuck has predicted that Europeans are going to get a real doing in France at the Ryder Cup this year. I'm not so sure, especially with that thing. Casey's on that team now, so that's good news. He's a good player.
Yeah, has struggled to putt well at the weekends in big tournaments or even medium-sized tournaments, but maybe away from the glare of pressure. He said he'd been working on his putting and found something, and I know everybody who's got a passing interest in golf is already saying, why the hell are you still talking about Paul Casey? So I'll park that there. One of the reasons that, I mean, he wasn't in the full glare of things is because golf commentators and the TV coverage and everybody stopped pretending, and because they could now that he's back, that Tiger Woods is not by a distance the most important thing in golf, and just went full on follow every movement of Tiger for 6 hours.
It's yeah, I mean, it did feel like the old days. I tell you what really brought it home to me, apart from the if you look at this morning, the TV ratings in America are off the charts. I think it's the biggest TV rating since the Masters last year, something crazy like that. Was when Woods and Snedeker got to the final green, and Snedeker's butchering and he's still out, you know, he says to Tiger, I'm going to finish, because Tiger's got the waiting on his birdie putt, and Snedeker goes, no, let me finish. And that's how it used to be. These guys knew that they better not play before Tiger or play after Tiger, because it'll just be bedlam. He could create all sorts of chaos with the crowd and everything, and so Snedeker got his business done and out of the way, so Tiger could have a go at his birdie putt to tie the lead. It really was like the old days. I mean, the coverage at the States all this morning and all last night was wall to wall Tiger. Certainly all the sports coverage. And then you go to the local news channels and you go to the sports guy there, certainly in our area, and it's all Tiger. It's all about Tiger. He really has recaptivated the imagination of the not just the golfing public, but the general public. He is by far and away still the most important thing in the game.
Mm. In recent weeks, it's been very encouraging, and over the last while, we've seen him make efforts at comebacks. And you watch him, and there's been a nagging sense that if he hit a good to very good to excellent shot, I mean, the reaction of everybody in the commentary team and the fans was completely disproportionate. You know, you'd literally have him do that, and then some no-mark who's ranked 100 in the world hit a far better shot on the next shot of coverage, and they'll, you know, it would not even register overly with them, with the TV commentary or with people in the galleries. There was always that nagging sense that Tiger did anything remotely promising. It was a huge moment. This is probably the first week where he legitimately showed signs that we can get properly excited about on merit.
Yeah, well, this is his fourth. This is the fourth event of the quotes and quotes comeback tour. Mm. I mean, he did pretty well. He made the cut in Torrey. I think he tied 13th at the Honda, missed a cut at Riviera, and now this. I mean, I think you could say before this weekend, Joe, that he was showing signs. I mean, physically, the swing looked to be a lot more sort of solid, and the short game especially. God knows how he got rid of the putting, the chipping yips, but he certainly got rid of them. His short game looks pretty good. I just wonder, if there's some kind of psychological difference this time around as well. If you remember previous comebacks, they came before the kind of infamous you know, the infamous DUI shots, you know, those terrible videos of Tiger mumbling in the police station. And, you know, and you just kind of sense that, you know, after that, he had nothing left. He had no more secrets. It was all out there. And you just wonder, you know, in a psychological sense, if that's kind of freed him up. He's got nothing to be, nothing to hide, because everybody knows. He's got nothing to be potentially embarrassed about, because he can't be any more embarrassed than he already was. And I just wonder, psychologically, that has freed him up a great deal. And you ally that with a kind of physical comeback. I mean, God knows who his back doctor was, the guy who did the fusion surgery, but he's clearly a miracle worker. And so, of course, the physical side is one thing, but I just think there might be something in the idea that psychologically the slate has been wiped clean. You can see in his dealings with the press and the media. You know, he's not... You know, a guy like Tiger, I always thought if Tiger came back, he would still, you know, he'd still have his list. He'd still have his little blacklist. There would still be people that he, you know, he would remember from the old days, that, you know, who did him wrong, or he thought he did him wrong. It just seems to be a lot more open, a lot more free, and giving more of himself. And I wonder if he's really warming to that. You know, he's kind of discovered it. Oh, hey, this is a better way to go about my business.
That's a very interesting point. Yeah, and even Padraig Carrington was speaking in his in one of the pre-tournament press conferences recently, and he was just making the point that almost close to literally, but certainly for one of the first times ever that he can remember, he was on the range, and in the last couple of weeks this is, and Tiger came out onto the range, and obviously all the commotion and all the galleries are there to watch him and everything, and he said Tiger came over to me and just started talking. You know, how's things, what's up? Just like nothing chit-chat, but Harrington was kind of surmising as well, God, this genuinely is slightly different, and he's almost trying to enjoy himself a bit more, was Harrington's takeaway.
Yeah, I think so, and it's also a kind of process of discovery. Hey, this is actually, you know, this is actually pretty good fun. You got to think, you think of Tiger, you look at Tiger's, the arc of his golfing life, Tiger has been the winner at every single level. When he was 10 years old, he won 51 junior tournaments in a row in Southern California. So you take that through, he won 3 U.S. junior amateurs, 3 U.S. amateurs. He's always been the top dog. And, you know, that comes with his own pressures. You know, you can isolate yourself. You think, well, this is how I've isolated myself and this is how I win. But then you get the great humiliations of the last 4, 5, 6 years, it's like a freeing process. And I know people. I mean, nobody in the media, you and I, none of us know Tiger really, but I know people. I'm sure you do, who know Tiger really well in social situations. And I've always been told that he is a really good guy to hang around with, fun, smart, likes a good time. Clearly. And I just wonder, you know, he's discovered that maybe I can just be a bit more like that in a public situation. It's clear, as I said, I think it's pretty freeing for him. And you ally that with the physical side, and it's he's back. He's definitely back.
This is very interesting, because you're and I mean this with affection, you're a cynical sort, you know? I would have thought you'd be looking on at Tiger and saying, I'm not buying this new act.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I see that. Yeah, but again, you can just... You can just pick up a sense of things, Joe, I think. I mean, you can tell when, you know, I mean, you look down the list of the top 20 guys in the world, and you can tell who's good enough to fake it, and they kind of just go through, you know, they can go through it. Then you can always pick up a sense. You've been around these guys long enough. You've been around professional athletes for long enough. You can sense when they're really faking it, who's sincere, who's authentic. I'm not saying Tiger will be truly authentic in the way that, say, Harrington is authentic.
Yeah.
But it strikes me. You know, another thing as well, Joe. I'm like everybody else. I'm sure you're the same. Everybody loves a comeback story, don't they?
Yeah, it's a redemptive tale.
I mean, it really is. You know, and especially when a guy has fallen so low. I mean, you know, in terms of his personal story, I mean, it couldn't have got any lower for Tiger Woods than that, the DUI incident, all that stuff.
I think the DUI was a moment where a considerable number of people who may previously have said, you know, okay, comeback is nice and everything, but what he did in his personal life was almost just so deranged and awful that I can't ever cheer this guy on. But the DUI almost was a level of embarrassment and just patheticness where you thought, my God, like, this could end really terribly for this guy. And he does have a family, and does, you know, even his ex-wife seems to suggest he's made very, very good and honest efforts and has a great relationship with his kids. And, you know, I guess there must be some kind of growth as a person out of all that madness. And you throw into that as well. I mean, he was bedridden, like properly in big trouble, like collapsing in his house and having to get his daughter to go and get help because he literally could not move. I mean, as recently as 6-7 months ago, he thought this was over, this was done, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. So, God, he'd be a bit mad if he wasn't suddenly enjoying walking up a fairway now.
Well, I can't remember, sometime last year you said, I don't know what the future holds for me.
Yeah, I mean, President's Cup, I think. Was it President's Cup? I think it might have been.
I think it was. Yeah, it was President's Cup. And then his own tournament in 2016 in the Bahamas, you know, I can't see a future in golf right now. You know, I can't see light at the end of the tunnel. So the other thing, Joe, is that, I mean, it's not only a redemptive story for Tiger Woods, it's a redemptive story for golf. You know, I mean, he's been away for a long time, and there's characters. I mean, you look at Rory, you look at Spieth. You know, there's characters come up, but come through. There's, you know, that kind of wave of those young American guys. But, you know, in the sense that golf has not lost its way, but, you know, golf at that level has, you know, has taken a, you know, a slightly, you know, more mundane, hue. And then, I mean, God knows what that. When one day Tiger is going to be gone, right? So we're going to have to face up to that. You know. You know, but, you know, you're watching at the weekend, you hope, well, God, maybe he could play at this level till he's 50, you know. But I think it's great for golf to have him back. You know, I'm looking at all the coverage at the weekend here, and, you know, all the big guns of golf writing are out, and they're all, you know, giving their opinions, and you can see, you know, it feels like 2006, 2007 again.
It's a fantastic story, and also it's an evolving story. I mean, there's such a pace to it now. It's week to week, and it's changing all the time. And could he win at the Arnold Palmer? And then the Masters is around the corner, and honestly, I agree with you. I mean, I have nothing against Justin Thomas, but I just don't care. I just can't seem to get on board. And, you know, Phil winning in Mexico at the WGC last week is like, oh my God, this is what it's like when you really care for, you know, whatever that intangible thing is that is character and star quality. Mickelson winning last week kind of was like, oh, this isn't a trudge to have to watch the final back nine here. For people who didn't see Woods' performance over the 4 days, Lawrence, like if you were to break it down broadly into driving and the irons, and I know you mentioned the short game and putting, how would you sum up what you saw?
Pretty solid. First thing I would go is the way he actually played the golf course. He was pretty conservative, you know. So that was the first thing. And that's, you know, Tiger's kind of seen as this kind of swashbuckling figure. But if you actually look back in Tiger's career, he was always an incredible. He's mentally, course management, he was brilliant. So there was that was certainly back. Although to his cost, really, when you look at the 18th, yes, he hit a 2-iron off the tee on the 72nd hole, left himself 190 yards, which is the longest approach shot the whole week, the whole day for anybody in the field. Looking at his stats, I think I wrote them down earlier on. 31 out of 52 fairways, pretty good. That's 16th in the field. 48 out of 72 greens in regulation. That's pretty good. That says a lot to, you know, the quality of his ball striking. So I think he was 8th in the field in that. So his ball striking's back. He's hitting it pretty well.
Yeah.
Just the putting again on Sunday. You know, but again, part of that was, I mean, he found a lot of greens in regulation on Sunday, but not kind of close enough to the hole. I'm thinking, say, not to kind of over shot by shot, but I think, you know, the 11th, I think he pulled a sand wedge from nowhere and missed the green. That kind of stuff is going to, you've tightened that stuff up. He's only played 4 times this year.
Yeah.
That's going to tighten up. I mean, it's all there. I mean, it's absolutely, you know, that way, you're just kind of waiting. It's there. What's going to happen? You know, what'll be interesting, you know, who's going to step up and take him on? That's the interesting thing to me. That'll be because he's there, he's ready. It'll be interesting to see this new generation who's actually got it to take him on, because they're going to have to be at their absolute best to take him on.
And there are all these cliched staging posts in a golfer's progression towards ultimately winning, which start with, you know, you hear them say, I'm hitting it well on the driving range, and then it's about hitting it well on a Thursday, and then it's about doing it. And in the TV coverage, I think quite rightly pointed out a few times that this was potentially the first time Woods had put it in contention in a number of years, you know, and maybe that does contribute. But like generally, I mean, the really interesting thing is you figured with the back fusion, if all went well, he might muster up some manner of game with his driver and his irons. But as you said, he effectively looked like he had the chipping yips, and his chipping now looks, God, he's hitting some fantastic shots. And isn't it interesting that basically for the first time in his career here, He doesn't have a coach. People might not be aware of this if they're looking in. Woods here is almost going away. The word from the TV coverage was he's got a few friends he might trust or maybe use the camera. But like we're back to almost a teenager just feeling some shots on the range and almost kind of figuring it out old school way here, which is really interesting.
It's really, really good. And you got to think, you know, a guy who's gone through, who's won majors with three or four different swings, he's been at the top of the game, certainly with four different swings. He knows a bit about the golf swing. His swing looks, if you go back, I mean, golf nerds like you and I, Joe, we might go back and look at old YouTube videos of Tiger swinging the club. And it's pretty much a, he's not as far across the line as he used to be when he was a kid, but it's, you know, it's a bit more upright swing like when he was a kid. And it's, so it's very much, you know, I'm not saying it's self-taught, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Very much Tiger swing. The other thing I should, before we forget, he's got Joe LaCava on the bag. And I was really struck. There was an interesting piece in the New York Times today about LaCava and Tiger. And I was really, really struck by, you know, how effusive Tiger was on Joe LaCava, his caddy. Right. It was, he clearly loves the guy. But the interesting thing, you know, two things about LaCava. One, when Tiger wasn't playing, LaCava was offered countless jobs on tour, and he turned them all down. You know, he's like, I'm going to stick with my guy. And I think Tiger really, really appreciated that. LaCava, you know, he could have gone out and worked for the Justin Thomases of this world, made an absolute fortune. I think he just took his retainer off Tiger and sat tight, which was really good. The other thing about LaCava, I mean, you compare LaCava to a character like Steve Williams. LaCava's a very amiable, approachable kind of guy. And, you know, that all adds into the different kind of music around Tiger. It's, as I say, it's all pretty exciting stuff, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And so I guess, I mean, the final point to make is that the Masters is now on the horizon. Like, to use that phrase that American broadcasters seem to love, he's trending in the right direction here. I mean, I think he's gone into like 10 or 11 to 1 for the Masters, which is, you know, I wouldn't touch it either. But
would you not?
Well, convince me. I mean, I just think, my God, anything can go wrong. It still feels so fragile.
Yeah, well, we'll see how he does it at Bay Hill. I think he's won 8 times at Bay Hill. If he wins at Bay Hill this week, then I don't think there's any stopping it. I think you'll regret not taking 11-1, Joe. Again, who knows Augusta National better than Tiger Woods? I wasn't saying that. He last won there in 2005. That is a long time ago.
Yeah.
But who knows that golf course better than him? Do you think, well, after the scandal in 2010, he came back after that. He disappeared for 6 months. I was in all sorts of trouble, came back. First tournament and finished fourth. So if you can do that under those circumstances, you've got to think, especially if he does well again this week, his game looks really, really good, knows the course really, really well. You would have to think if you get one of these young kids in the final group or in the last couple of groups, with, you know, Justin Thomas playing with Tiger Woods in the last couple of groups, or Ricky Fowler, you know, that'll be something they have never, ever experienced before.
Yeah.
And they'll know. I mean, they keep on talking about, oh, we can't wait to see Tiger playing his very, very best again. David Duval commented on that this week and said, no, they don't. And Duval, you know, Duval, who has spent a lifetime or a career trying to beat Woods at his very, very best.
Yeah, I can imagine Ernie Els kind of nodding with Duval and saying, be really careful. Yeah, isn't that interesting, actually, a point to finish on? Woods is kind of like a tourist attraction for both all the players who are saying, oh my God, I just want to play with Tiger Woods once, and then equally for younger fans. Like on the 17th, we play that clip at the top of this. They like, it's almost nostalgic. They want this Woods moment.
Everybody does, don't they? They want it, but again, as Duval said, they should be careful what players certainly should be careful what they wish for. But I think it's great, you know, kids, my son's generation, he's 12, 13. You know, they've never, I mean, Tiger Woods is this, you know, this Mount Rushmore figure that they've never really experienced in its fullest sense.
Yeah.
And they're going to get it at the Masters, and it's going to be, I think we say this every year, the most, you know, anticipated tournament, you know, in the last decade. Well, I think this certainly is, especially if Tiger goes in there with this kind of form. And you would hope that Rory would kind of find something over the next couple of weeks somewhere. And then we've got the full house. It's going to be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Is Tiger the favourite, Joe? I haven't looked at the numbers yet.
Second or third?
Yeah, well, you know, if he finishes top five this week, I think Tiger will be the favourite. And I would say just about rightly so.
Okay, well, okay. Lawrence, thanks so much.
All the best, Joe.
Lawrence Dunningham there with his thoughts on Tiger. Second last night at the Valspar in Florida and playing again this week. Football Show next.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.